We'll now convene, and first let me apologize to those of you who are here. Unfortunately, I forgot this meeting was on the schedule, so I left the campus in my car, and of course, Irma Brooks Williams called me and said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm at 63rd and Cottage Grove." So anyway, please accept my apology. I did intend to be here. It is on my schedule, and I'm not really rushed. So please accept my apology, those of you who are here. And call a roll, please.
Trustee Finney?
Present.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
The meeting notices were posted as required.
Chair will entertain a motion to approve the previous minutes.
So moved.
And I'll second them, I guess, but I have to.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
Okay, contracts over $25,000.
Three contracts, and two of them are going to be presented by Dr. Linden. Are you here? I know that. Well, let me just present the other one then. There are three contracts total. The other one's for $28,500, and it is for caps and gowns for the commencement.
For the record, how many? Does it enumerate how many?
How
I just
many?
Want to know, does it enumerate how many are going to be ordered?
It doesn't say the total amount that are going to be ordered, but it says that they're $18.35 each for a total of $15,414. And then the other ones are $36.55 each for a total of $13,066.
Do we have that in front of us? And I don't want to belabor. Do we have that in front of us here?
No, you do not. I just received this at the last minute today.
So there's no resolution for it?
I don't have a resolution either. I do have resolutions for it.
Okay.
But not for this one. And Dr. Lindsay? she has the contracts with her, so because she was going to present them. So
who is this?
Dr. Lindsay. And I just gave them to her. So she was here.
Where is she?
A few seconds ago.
Well, we can move on, and we'll come back in a minute. While you're there, and maybe we can might want to come back. You don't need to write anything. This is a straight up question. I read the Chicago Tribune this morning, and in the Chicagoland section, and it indicated that the newspaper had been closed, and that we were being sued by the students. By the student editor. Can you edify us on, is there a lawsuit that has been filed?
There is a current lawsuit, and I think if we were going to discuss that, we probably should do that in executive session.
Okay. I just all I want to know is if there's been suit filed.
And it was filed, I believe, in January. I don't have it with me, but it'll be on the list of when you receive the
I got it. I just want to know if it had been filed. Because no one had told the board chairman about any lawsuit that had been filed at all. And I would just simply say this, in the future, if there is a lawsuit filed, and particularly by the faculty or the students of this institution, I think that any chairman would appreciate being notified right away.
Okay.
Thank you.
The lawsuit was actually filed against Dr. Polk and Pat Arnold.
As representatives of
Chicago State, yes. But I will definitely make sure that you're notified.
Thank you. Okay, then let's just move. Trustee Sutton, you have any?
No, not in regards to what we were just talking about.
Okay.
Excuse me, let me just make a clarity, Chairman Finney. The last board report did have that lawsuit in it.
Okay.
But he was advised. It was in the last report?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Uh, Please indicate that President Pogue has now joined us. I didn't see you down there.
I'm here.
All right. Dr. Lindsay, we are on, and I've already apologized for having left the campus in error before we, so I'm a little bit late convening this meeting. And we are now on the approval of contracts over $25,000, which is where you are.
Yes. The first one is a subcontract to Southern Illinois University for the Bridges to the Doctorate program. Chicago State University is the lead institution for the Illinois Lewis Stokes Alliance for Minority Participation. This is a subcontract to Southern Illinois. This program has a total of 24 students pursuing a doctorate in STEM disciplines, six of whom come from Chicago State University, and this is a continuation of a payment for that.
Dr. Lindsay, where is that? I'm sorry, where is those? Where are those materials? I don't have it in the packet. I don't have that.
They're not in the packet.
Oh.
Those contracts came in at the very last minute. So those, you do have resolutions for those two. You don't have the one I presented. So what we're trying to do is get these contracts to you as soon as we get them. If they're over $25,000.
Okay.
These were the ones that came in after we had our last meeting.
Uh-huh. So, do I have something in writing for the trustee?
I only have, there's only one of the resolutions. I didn't realize that this one had come in, so. There's no resolution for the one that I just mentioned.
Okay, so then let us hear what you have to say, please.
Okay. This is a subcontract to Southern Illinois University, Carbondale, for the Bridges to the Doctorate program funded by the National Science Foundation for $30,000. It is a final installment on the amount that Southern Illinois University Carbondale receives for the Bridges to the Doctorate. For the Bridges to the Doctorate.
And what is the Bridges to the Doctorate?
The Bridges to the Doctorate program is an NSF funded program for students who attended AMP.
Dr. Lindsay,
I'm sorry.
I know you do this every day of your life,
yes.
But I haven't a clue of what ASF means.
I'm sorry. National Science Foundation funded program for the Lewis Stokes Alliance for Minority Participation. Students who attend the Alliance schools can participate in Bridges to the Doctorate funded programs at a variety of universities around the country. Southern Illinois University Carbondale is one of them. The programs go through the funding for the Bridges to the Doctorate programs go through the Alliance schools at the undergraduate level. Hence, the funding for Southern Illinois Carbondale goes through Chicago State because Chicago State is the lead institution for the Illinois Lewis Stokes Alliance for Minority Participation.
Okay, this is Lewis Stokes, former congressman.
Absolutely.
From Ohio.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And okay. So this would be a pass-through?
For the Bridges to the Doctorate, yes. Essentially, that's what it is.
So we receive.
I was just saying pass-through from the National Science Foundation.
From the National Science Foundation through Chicago State University to Carbondale.
Mm-hmm. And so therefore, did you want to follow up there?
I was just going to ask how many students will be able to participate using this.
A total of 24, this is an installment for the program that has already been begun. There are currently 24 students in the program, six of whom come from Chicago State. The remaining 18 come from other institutions around the country.
I remember this.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Coming back to me slowly.
And this is the final installment on that program that was presented earlier.
Because I remember I asked specifically if any of our students were going. Okay.
You asked this exact same.
But these funds have no origin in our corporate budget. They
absolutely
are,
not.
Thank or you. Our appropriations. This is all money that we get from somebody else. We just pass it on.
We get this money from the National Science Foundation.
Well, with that said, I'm ready to move on it. On your question.
Do we make them? The chair will entertain a motion.
So moved.
It is moved that we. Would you restate the language of the resolution for the secretary, please?
The resolution is that Chicago State University has received funding from the National Science Foundation to provide funds to Southern Illinois University Carbondale to support the Bridges to the Doctorate program, the final installment being $30,000.
Call the roll, please.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
The second contract is a continuation of one that was presented for some other funding that was received from the National Science Foundation, recently presented for the purchase of an electron microscope. This particular contract is to provide funds for the purchase of equipment connected to the existing transmitting electron microscope for the purchase of a camera. The amount of the contract for the camera is $57,000 and change.
And this also is grant money?
This is from the National Science Foundation.
You guys are doing a good job over there getting money.
Okay, and this is a continuation?
Exactly.
This final installment, or this is
no. This we presented at the last finance committee meeting for the actual purchase of the transmitting microscope. The total amount of the grant was for approximately $354,000 and change. This is one of the other pieces or components that was identified for that particular grant.
Okay. Do you have anything else on this?
No, I do not.
Do you have anything else?
Will that be housed here on campus?
Oh, this is, we're going to get rid of the scanning scope that we have.
Okay.
Get the new one, and then this camera will be mounted on the transmitting.
So the answer is yes?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion.
I so moved.
It's been moved. Please give us the language.
We requesting approval that the Gatton Inc. Company be awarded a contract in the amount of $57,229.71 for the purpose of purchasing and installing a Gatton camera on our current transmission electron microscope.
Let me just ask a question now. I know that this falls under the $75,000. This contract falls under the amount that we have to go out to bid, am I right?
That's correct. As a matter of fact, this particular scope, camera and model was specifically mentioned in the proposal that was approved by the National Science Foundation, and therefore it is a sole proprietorship because they approved this particular camera as part of the proposal. But yes, it does fall under the amount we for bid.
Please call the roll.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
So ordered.
Thank
you very much. You got anything else?
Did we do the cap and gown, or was that not going to be done? Because I know that you were waiting on Dr. Lindsay.
Right, but no, I present the cap and gown. It's for the amount that I told you.
We didn't vote on
it.
But you didn't vote on it. So do you want me to present it again?
We didn't vote.
We have to vote on it.
Vote. Right.
Yeah. So we're prepared to do that, I think. Well, Trustee Finn.
And we need.
Yeah, let's
I don't know.
Yeah. Yes.
This is a commodity, so there is no actual contract. It's just the purchase requisition. And it is for the cost of the students' cap and gowns, tassels, and hoods. And the total amount is $28,500.
Chair will entertain a motion.
I so move. Need my cap and gown.
Please.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
So ordered. Thank you.
That ends it for the contracts.
Okay. All right. IRS review tax annual annuity benefit. Who's going to address that? Is that you? Attorney Nancy Hall Walker. You've got two more matters here.
Okay, we already, you already approved the IRS revised tax annuity. It wasn't three.
Action item. It was presented as an information item, but then it was determined as an action item.
Okay.
The board needs to approve that.
And you do have the resolutions, and all the information was sent to everyone, I believe, some time ago. So this is in accordance with the 403, IRS's 403B, and it's a benefit to employees at Chicago State University who can invest for retirement purposes. It's a continuation of the current plan. It's just updating it so that we are in compliance with the IRS. Mm-hmm. But that material was presented, I believe, back in December. But in order to go forward, I do have to have a resolution that's signed.
Yeah, we discussed this when I met with you one-on-one.
Yes.
I mean, I went with the staff. All right. I was comfortable with your explanation then. And so I can represent to Trustee Sutton that this was one of a number of contracts that when I met with the president as well as the management, we discussed at length. And
well,
I was satisfied that it was necessary.
Does it relate to our remaining in compliance with any IRS?
Absolutely.
Well, then if it does, then we have to move forward with it. And I'm ready to move on the matter. So moved.
Second.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
The next one is also, it's a continuation of the IRS 403B. You were presented along with the tax annuity resolution, the actual supplemental retirement plan document that has to be signed by the board also.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in, before we can move forward and implement the plan. So you've received that some time ago also. It's a pretty thick packet.
You want to in any way elaborate on the meaning of this?
It just means that we went into the current plan that we have now that was started when we were under the Board of Governors, and we updated everything that needed to be updated so that we would be in compliance with 403B, IRS's 403B. Mm-hmm. So it's a compliance issue.
And so this is for the benefit of our employees
and
faculty?
All employees, yes.
Yes, okay. All right.
You entertain?
Yes.
So moved.
It's been moved, second.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
Okay, Council, I think that concludes you. And now we have the budget, and that's Dean Justman.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Have a large number of materials in the packet, so I'm just going to highlight a few things, if that's all right, and move us along quickly. On the budget, the governor's recommendation is presented in the packet as one of the appendices. Of course, it still would have to be enacted on by the legislature ultimately, but the governor's recommendation would have an increase of $419,600 to Chicago State. That's a little less than 1%. The reason why we have a small increase is because of the presence of federal stimulus monies in excess of $3.8 million. Were it not for the federal stimulus money, the budget reduction to the Chicago State University would have been in excess of 9%. Remember, we had been anticipating the possibility of a 10% cut. So that cut is being avoided for this year if the bill passes with this particular configuration with the assistance of the stimulus money. So, excuse me, we have a washing effect that helps us to set aside a cut. Now, the reason why I want us to keep that in mind as we go forward with planning for the next couple of years is that the stimulus money is, we would anticipate as a two-year situation. So after that two-year period, without some additional revenues in the state and stabilization of the state's economy itself, there would be a potential down the road of having a reduction once these stimulus monies might go away. So we do need to think about that in terms of our longer term planning. The governor's proposal does eliminate two lump sums fundings, $1 million operations and maintenance fund for the Convocation Center and $1 million operations and maintenance for the Convocation Center and $150,000 for the in support of the doctoral educational leadership program. These are expenditures.
In support of what, please?
The EDD program, the Doctor of Educational Leadership.
Mm-hmm.
These are expenses that we still have to incur. So we do need to expend on these areas, even in the absence of the lump sum funding. So that means we have to use some of our funds.
Well, I'm a little bit confused. Let's go back to the appropriations just for a second.
Sure.
We anticipate a possible 10% reduction in appropriation. You opine or give an opinion that we will not suffer that reduction because of the Obama stimulus plan.
Yes, sir.
Now, how does that money get to us? How does the stimulus money get to us? Is that to support general operation, or is it the stimulus program money to support program?
It comes through the state. If we Exhibit A, which is the first exhibit behind the text in the budget section of the board book, does present the tables as found in the governor's budget
request. You haven't paginated this, I trust.
No, it's
when you have voluminous stuff and you're trying to get a meeting done,
right,
you might want to think about doing it.
The appendices begin right after page 7 in the budget section.
Exhibit A, all right.
Yes. And you'll see under the fiscal year 2010 recommendation, if you look in the white area, in the large white area in the top under general funds, you see zeros for where previously we had 150 and then down two more lines, 1,000 or a million, thousand, thousands. And you see that those are zeroed out. So when you look at the totals, you see that the net total for the general funds has an increase of $419,000. So actually, this is all washing through general funds, to answer your question. So if you go down into the sources of the funds, which is actually on the next page, A-2, and you go down to near the bottom where it says by division, you see the federal recovery funds, the education stimulization, $3.4 million, and the federal recovery general stabilization, $419,000. Those are the dollars that are adding into the general funds portion at the beginning of Exhibit A that offset any otherwise reduction that would have occurred from the state.
All right, let me follow this. So when it foots out, we're looking at total all divisions, is that what I'm to look at?
The total all divisions is showing you the different fund sources for general operations, and then it identifies the federal recovery funds.
Yeah.
But those federal recovery funds help to support the general funds component on the first page.
Well,
so it flows through the state, sir, is what I'm saying.
So the key, I'm sorry.
This money, was it specifically allocated from the state for what it's going to be used for, Convocation Center?
No.
Was that money fungible?
It goes into the general, for our general operation,
general
as part of our general operation, yes. The point that I'm making is that we can't, because the lump
Let's
sum.
Let's not talk about what we can't. Let's just make sure we understood what we can before we ship, okay? So I think that Trustee Sutton's question was, just for right now, in the context of being concerned about a possible reduction in appropriation that we anticipated back at the last board meeting of possibly $10 million, I mean 10%, which would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million, if my memory serves me correctly.
Four, sir.
Four, okay. That we do not expect to receive that reduction in revenue, and well, an overall reduction in revenue for general operating purposes because of the federal recovery education stabilization of $3.4 million and another one for federal recovery general stabilization of $419,000, right?
Yes.
When we add both of those, that means that Chicago State, in terms of reduction in appropriation, will not experience a reduction in total revenue.
Yes, from the state.
For general operation.
Yes, sir.
From the state of Illinois.
Yes, sir.
Nor from the federal government.
No, well.
Which doesn't come to Chicago State, but it comes to the state of Illinois. So
right,
we won't
I understand,
receive
but
a deduction.
Right, all right. Yes. Point is that, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I think we understand.
Mm-hmm. So now at this point, where
now
we
you want to say you had a what if now, so let's maybe we understand a what if.
My train of thought. I'm apologize.
I think you were trying to speculate that if something doesn't happen, if this we don't have this money in 2011, the federal recovery money mightn't be there. Is that where you were leading us?
Yes, 2012. So we're going into 2010. That's this budget. The federal stimulus money. If it's a two-year program, which is what is anticipated, that would have us for 2011. In 2012, unless the state were able to recover sufficiently, there is the threat of the reduction after the federal stimulus money might end. I just point that out in terms of planning going forward. There are different ways that the university can address a potential revenue shortfall down the road. Through enrollment growth and tuition and other types of revenue enhancing factors. It's just a planning thing out early on that we need to continue to work with. Mary, now what? With an understanding of where the budget might end up after the legislative process, now with that we're taking a look at what our needs are for 2010. And this will move us then to the tuition and fee recommendations for 2010.
You're not requiring any action on this item that you just
No, sir. This is information.
So now you want to talk about tuition?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I got something to say about it, but go ahead.
Okay.
You want to say something about the previous session?
No, not about the previous session. We've moved on. I'm ready to talk about tuition once you're finished.
All right. Well, first I want to talk about need. The tuition and fee committee came together and was looking at a variety of factors. A lot of the background information is in your board packet, as well as in the section is the actual recommendations of the committee. For 2010, there is a salary increase in place for several of our unions for 2010. Our largest union, the faculty union, UPI, already has a contracted increase of 3.5%. Our plant operating engineers is another one of our unions that has a contract in place at 3.5% for 2010. A general salary increase program for the university would cost in the neighborhood of $1.7 to $1.8 million. Already,
1.7 and 1.8
between
million?
Between 1.7 and 1.8. It depends on a number of factors.
Let me ask.
Yes,
are you suggesting that the total impact of a 3.5% increase for the faculty and the other 3.5%, I didn't catch who that was for. Who was that for?
Plant operating engineers.
I'm sorry?
Plant operating engineers.
All right. Now, are you suggesting that the total impact for 2010 of 3.5% for the faculty and 3.5% for the plant operating engineers would calculate out to a pencil out to 1.7 million?
No.
What is it? What would those pencil out to each one of them?
Well, the faculty. The total.
The faculty.
Yeah, I don't recall the exact breakdown, but the total is about 900,000 for those two groups.
It's 900,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you've got another 1.7 million for what?
No, then to add another 800,000 to the 0.9 would get us to 1.7, and that would be then for a similar salary increase program for the other unions that do not have contracts in place and the employees who would not have be part of a bargaining unit.
Okay, so let me understand this then. In terms of the budget as it relates to the expenses, we will experience a $1.7 million increase in need for revenue or increase in expenses, let me put it that way, for budget year 2010, right?
Potentially, yes.
Yeah, potentially.
Yes.
Well, what's the contingency?
Not all of the unions have contracts in place at this point.
So, but we've got the faculty,
yes,
and we've got $900,000 of it all in already, right?
Yes.
And so another $800,000 may be.
Yes, may be needed.
Now, are you suggesting that because that may be because there's no collective bargaining agreement in place for the other 800,000 or the other personnel?
Well, yes. What I'm trying to do is to project to budget a potential dollar need so that we can plan in terms of tuition and fee requirements for the coming year, as well as other budgetary planning for expenditures.
But my point is that what we have a collective bargain agreement for is the faculty and the operating engineers.
Yes.
That we know.
Yes.
So that's $900,000 right there.
Yes.
There's no way to avoid that.
Right.
Then you've got another $800,000 that may have to be addressed by non-union personnel.
Union and non-union. Not all.
So
of
if
the
you have
unions.
A union, I don't understand. If you have a union, does that mean that there's no collective bargaining agreement in place with the union? What does it mean? Now, is the support staff, okay, so seven, support staff is not faculty?
No.
And support staff is not plant and operating engineer,
no.
Right? So then we've got support staff, all right.
And then we have Teamsters, which will expire July 1st. The police officer one has already expired. It expired last July, and I've been negotiating with them. We do not have a final agreement, and we may be going to arbitration real soon. And then there is one other one. There's one other contract that expires this summer, and I believe it is
So then, are you suggesting that since these contracts will expire, the support staff 6109 and the Teamsters 6109, that they would approximate $800,000?
Not just those, sir. There are also employees who are not part of negotiation, not part of labor unions. And so what I'm trying to do budgetarily is to create...
I understand that, but I really need a clean answer because my mind can't process this the way you're presenting it. That's why I'm pressing it. I'm trying to get to the bottom line. Can I assume that that the bargaining units, if you will, and the collective bargaining agreements for the support staff and the Teamsters, we're going to have to go into some sort of negotiation with them, right?
Yes.
And more than likely, we'll have to acquiesce at some level.
Yes.
Right? We don't know exactly how much that's going to be, but we do know that these are unionized.
Yes.
Right? Are these the only ones that are unionized that we have to deal with?
Well,
we have a total of nine.
So the answer is no?
The answer is we have four that we have to deal with in fiscal year 2010.
All right, and so would that be the faculty,
no,
the plant operating engineers, the support staff, and the Teamsters?
No,
I understand, but we also, that contract also translates back into a 3.5% salary increase and the operating engineers as well. So are there any other collective bargaining units that we have to deal with other than faculty, plant, support staff, and Teamsters?
And the police.
I'm sorry?
The police.
And when does that expire? All right, so with all of this all in, now we get to your speculation, right? Your speculation is that we will have to negotiate and award some level of a contract extension or some level of a pay increase to support staff, Teamsters, and police.
And employees who are not part of a bargaining unit.
And non-union. Okay. And you estimate now that that could be as much as $800,000.
Yes.
And we add that $800,000 to the $900,000 that we already know that that is mandated by the collective bargaining agreement with the faculty and the plant operating engineers, that gives us $1.7 million.
Yes.
Mr. Sutton?
How this looks in front of me, given what you've stated already, Dr. Justin, we're going to get an increase in aid from the state of over $400,000, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not. Oh.
The net.
He said
the
yes.
The net, okay.
Okay.
Good.
Totally, we're looking to get about $31 million from the state. Is that correct? Looking at
No. The
bottom line here?
No, that's not correct.
That's not correct? Okay. Where I'm going with this is that, first of all, my first question is how, as it relates to your proposal here, tuition FY 10, 09 and 10, how is that tuition increase, what is this tuition increase relative to the other institutions across the state?
All right.
What are they doing with respect to the increase in tuition?
I reconfirmed my information an hour before this meeting. There is only one other Illinois public university that has announced tuition for next year. That's Northeastern Illinois University. Their board has approved an 11.4% increase for new students and an 11.8% increase for continuing students. No other Illinois public university yet has approved a tuition increase for next year.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. The reason that I asked that, and I, you know, 8.9% is definitely less than 11.4%. But given the fact that we're not gonna see some, would you describe what our income from the state projected to be? Would you describe that as flat?
The income from the state would be flat only because the stabilization monies are present to offset what otherwise would have been a reduction.
Okay. Given the increase in students that we just looked at our previous Academic and Student Affairs Committee meeting, given the increase in students and also looking at our needs relative to these salary increases, do you believe that an 8.9% increase is, obviously maybe you don't believe that it's too much, but what would be enough relative to a percentage increase in tuition to be able to cover all of these expected expenses that we're going to incur as a result of these contract expirations? What do you think?
That is why the committee recommended the 8.9%. It was in consideration of these numbers that we're talking about.
Is that enough or is that more than enough?
No, it's enough. You have to remember that there is a tuition guarantee program in place. So most of the undergraduate students already have tuition rates that are guaranteed for 5 years or 120 credit hours. This is an increase to an incoming class. That class will not incur a tuition increase until the end of 120 hours or 5 years. So if you spread that out over a four-year period, then the increase is actually very modest.
It's very modest over four years. So the people who are gonna come in 09, 10, they're gonna have this locked for 4 years?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Polk, what do you think about this?
Well, you've heard from Dr. Gussman.
Okay.
And you also received this prior to the meeting. We have talked about this extensively. We had a pre-meeting as well. And what you heard from Dr. Gussman is what I have heard and endorsed.
Okay.
That's why it's coming to the board.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention. So for the new freshmen, how much at 8%, 8.9% increase, how much would that mean in dollars that they would have to pay?
I didn't have a chance to complete this before the meeting, but if I may pass something out.
Sure. It'll answer the question?
Yes. This is the draft resolution with supporting documents. If I may, I'd like to call your attention to the third page, which is labeled Exhibit A. And there is the, I think the numbers, Dr. Finney, that you're asking for. We've rendered these as annual numbers. Undergraduates are based on 30 credit hours and graduates on 24.
Graduates 24 credit hours?
Annually.
So am I reading this right? Therefore, the incoming freshman would be required to pay $611 more. Am I correct?
Correct. Per year.
Per year.
For full time. Now,
quick question, really quick.
Yes.
looking at the other institutions across the state, is this truth in tuition, does it apply to every institution across the state of Illinois?
All
or is it just Chicago State?
No, all of the Illinois public institutions.
Public institutions, whatever.
Right. And one of the exhibits in your board document does provide you with the undergraduate and graduate rates of all the Illinois public institutions currently.
I have it here?
It's in your book, yes. Okay. Right. It's one of the exhibits behind, in the budget section, behind my narrative.
On this, the next one would be increased tuition for continuing students for not under a tuition grantee by 8.9%. Now, who does that affect?
That would affect the students who are undergraduates who have actually been here now more than 4 years because they did not enter under a guarantee program.
So let me get this right then. So for those students, I'm looking for a $478 per student increase, right?
Correct, yes,
sir. I just did the math.
Yes, sir.
I'm taking, yes, you projected. The increase would be from $5,370 to $5,848,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so that's a net increase there of $478, right?
Yes.
Now we've got another group here, graduate. And that group would be absorbing a returning students not on, I don't know, tuition guarantee plan. And the tuition for them would go from 4,488 to 4,887, right?
With one caveat. There is a recommendation from the committee to, over a three-year period, eliminate the discount in the credit hour rate between graduate and undergraduate new student. Right now, it is much cheaper to be a graduate student per credit hour at Chicago State than to be an undergraduate. The undergraduate credit hour rate currently is $229 per credit hour. The graduate rate is $187 per credit hour. What the committee is recommending is phasing this discount out over a three-year period equally. That's why there's a $15 per credit hour recommended increase for this year. Other Illinois public universities have eliminated this discount to their graduate students, with one exception. Governor State. Governor State and Chicago State still have lower rates for the graduate students. Northeastern eliminated this using a two-year elimination phase out. We're proposing a three-year phase out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the so increase graduate credit hour tuition by 8.9% plus one-third, $15 of the inflated difference between current graduate of $187,000 and new graduate of $229 per credit hour.
Yes.
Close the remaining gap in the two following years. Mm-hmm. I get it. Okay. You understand this?
Well.
My assumption, the reason I'm deferring to you a little bit on this is because you and other students here actually go through these calculations, I assume, and try to determine how much you're going to have to pay for tuition.
If we aren't able to resolve these contractual disputes, if just for example, if we aren't able to, what is then the next step for these unionized staff and officers? What will be then be the next step? What will the cost to the university be if we aren't able to renew their contracts at what they're asking?
I think Attorney Al Walker might need to speak to union matters.
I have received letters from, excuse me,
That's their proposal.
If I may, one of the things that the, there are two main things that the Tuition and Fee Committee talked about. One had to do with a budgetary projection of increased expenditures in the coming year. The other had to do with the financial aid available to students. Pell is increasing by $1,300. The committee felt very favorably about their recommendation because it only consumed one half of that Pell increase with the tuition and fee recommendation. The other half of the Pell increase would still be available to students who receive that financial aid for their other needs.
Pell is increasing?
Yes.
By what percentage?
I don't have the percentage. It's $1,300, I believe.
Per student?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay.
And then, of course, the recommendation of 2% for fees was just based on a kind of a cost of living number in the sense that the fee-supported operations would be having to occur some cost increases for their operation.
Okay.
That's the basis for that one.
You finished?
What I would finally add here is that while I'm sensitive to that, that costs across the nation are increasing, and I did note the fact that Pell will increase 13%.
No, $1,300.
$1,300. It's more than 13%. Then it's $1,300. I am also taking into consideration that this tuition and fees increase is both you're proposing the tuition and fees increase all rolled into one 8.9%.
No.
What are you proposing?
8.9% tuition, 2% fee.
2% fee. Okay. I'm looking at the budget on the budget sheet for last year, and I see that between 07 and 08, we increased, Chicago State increased, what was that? Was it 12, 14%? Are you able to
concur? I don't have that in front of me.
You don't have that?
Remember, though, just one caveat.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing comparison in the numbers, everything is going to be skewed by the ramp-up of the new College of Pharmacy.
Meaning?
Meaning that if you're looking at a year when we didn't have pharmacy students and comparing it to a year when we do have pharmacy students, there's a large material difference in the total income because of that. I have to remind the IBHE of that as well, because as they look to our projected change to our income numbers, this isn't money we have available for other purposes. It's very specifically earmarked for the expenses of the new pharmacy program. And it's a material sum. It's several million dollars. That's why I'm always careful to remind the IBHE of that material change and its specific application.
Trustee Finn.
Well, I guess the thing that I'd like to have very transparent, and maybe it can't be more transparent than it is just the way this is laid out, but it would be real helpful to me. And I know that when we get to the full board, it would be helpful for me to understand the absolute impact that these changes are going to have on the students, so that I am real clear as to how much more each student is going to have to pay per credit hour, just the average student that is enrolled here, so that I can begin to get a sense of the potential negative impact on the students in a recessionary economy.
Absolutely.
That simply means that I believe that our students today and tomorrow and next year are going to struggle like everyone else in the United States of America to make ends meet. And I know that we as a school overall have to be able to make ends meet too. The question is, how much burden can we place on the students at this particular time? And I'm looking for the average student. I'm looking for that profile of what the average student looks like, what his or her course load is, and what the total impact on their budget would be, or their resources would be, in order for them to be able to meet the challenge of staying in school.
Yes, absolutely.
And I would like to add on that, to see if we've reached the most conservative number that we could with respect to a new fee and tuition increase on our students.
Yes.
And this is not a liberal application of increase in what we have to take from you in order to provide these services.
Yes, and if I may, because this discussion, we did have this discussion in the tuition and fee committee at some length, okay. Because there's when we were talking in the committee about expenditures for 2010, we were only looking at the possibilities for salaries, but we were not looking at other price increases, and we have price increases in commodities and equipment and contractual every year, and we were not even considering those. What we were looking at very, very carefully is that the projected increase for financial aid, and to be sure that too much of that was not going to be consumed by anything that we proposed, especially if we thought that we would be able to have the numbers balance.
Well,
there was one other piece about...
Here's what I'm going to say, because I'm not going to try to belabor this. I know the hour is dragging on. Now it's 3:30. We've been here an hour on this, on the budget. What I want to say is that even if we pass this on, I want to prepare you that when this comes before the full board for its approval, that we're going to want to see, Dean Justman, something that helps us to interpret this beyond what you have given us here, that's so transparent that every student, be he freshman or she freshman or what have you, is clear about how much more tuition they're going to have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And while I think that this discussion so far is a help, I'm mystified when I consider exactly what's going to happen to the students in this, again, recessionary economy. I'm told that the profile of students, the average profile of the students, we're heavily, our student body in terms of enrollment is heavily female. And many of the females have, or many of the students have, children that they have to take care of, and all kinds of obligations beyond paying for education. And so it's important for me as a board member to fully appreciate the impact of what we are going to decide at the full board meeting, mm-hmm. on the average student. Mm-hmm. And if you could work with, I don't know who to tell you to work with, but someone needs to work with you in order to give us a graphic appreciation for exactly what this is going to be. And so when we vote on it, we really know what we're voting on and why.
Now, let me just, there a student here on that committee?
Chair, I'll take that responsibility.
Okay.
I will be working with.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. President, because that I think we need to have. And I'm glad you're stepping forward. I don't want to run the staff anyway, but I do want to make sure that when I vote on this thing, up or down, I want to know what I'm voting on. Mm-hmm. And right now, I kind of almost know what I'm voting on, but I don't really know what I'm voting on.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may, I would like to make it very, very clear that members of my staff do not appear before the board without having discussed virtually everything they're saying with me. So, and as much as possible, we try to eliminate and make things quite simple by having pre-meetings on most of the things we talk about. But I suggested that I would take charge of that because in my role as interim president, any staff person that sits before you has discussed all of this matter with me, and I've given it my endorsement before it's brought to the board.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Mr. President, and I appreciate your professional standing here at the school. What I've asked for, and if you choose to do the work, that's fine with me. I just want to know when I'm called upon to vote that I know what I'm voting on, and I hope that I'm not in any way compromising you or your professional beliefs or appreciation for asking for clarity when I vote.
Not at all.
Mr. Justman, I know that when you guys go back after we refer, after we send this to the larger committee of the board, I trust that with the student input that's on that committee, that you guys are going to come up with the most conservative number that's going to keep us running smoothly with respect to what we have to do to stay afloat in this recessionary economy.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yes, and that's what we believe we've done.
Okay.
Let me just kind of say this. Now, having said that, it's also important that when we vote on the budget, that we are persuaded that we have no alternative. So, and that also needs to be, Mr. President, equally transparent, especially when we're going to be increasing tuition on students. And that's, since you, I'm sort of talking to Justman, but then talking back to you, since you've chosen to be in this particular posture, I want to make it clear that if we have to vote at 8.9%